My name's Peter Hall. I am a professor of urban studies at Simon Fraser University, and I also serve as the research, the chair of the research committee of the Canadian Community Economic Development Network. The Canadian Social Economy Hub is a national social economy research program. It's co-led by the University of Victoria and the Canadian CED Network. It involves practitioners and organizations, universities from all across Canada. There's a national hub based in Victoria. There are six regional nodes in different parts of the country. With funding from the federal government, that's the Social Sciences and Humanities Research Council, research is being undertaken to understand how the approaches of the social economy can better be understood and can better be more effectively applied so that community organizations, civil society, community developers, researchers can collaborate to empower groups and communities to meet their social and economic needs. This morning, I'm really delighted that we have a session on municipal government supports for the social economy. The objectives of this session are to familiarize practitioners, planners, council members, all the people on the call with some of the research that has been done, to provide a forum for practitioners and researchers to communicate, to engage practitioners in discussions on the research, and to help practitioners to use the research to impact public policy and practice. I think we've been joined as well by Dr. Ian McPherson and Rupert Downing, who are the two co-directors of the Canadian Social Economy Hub in Victoria. So welcome to Ian and Rupert and to everybody else. The questions that we're going to take up this morning and that have been given to our three speakers are, what role does municipal government play in the social economy sector? What are the best practices in municipal support of the social economy sector? And how can community citizens engage municipal government in supporting the social economy sector? So very much a practice-oriented session this morning, and our and will be taken up by our three speakers. I also want to say that we have four questions both through Chatsy and also directly from the telephone. So do make a note of questions you'd like to ask as our speakers make their presentations. And they are, the first speaker is Dr. Margie Mandel. She's an associate professor in the School of Community and Public Affairs at Concordia University in Montreal. She's also the director of the Carl Polanyi Institute of Political Economy, and I can't think of any theorist better than Carl Polanyi to help us understand the relationship between communities and economic development.
I thought I was going to have to sing.
And welcome again, Dr. Margie Mandel.
Thank you. Thank you, Peter. And I found your last comment a very pertinent one for all of us, and that is the importance of thinkers that are helpful for us. And Carl Polanyi is certainly one that we should be reading closely and carefully today in particular. Thank you for this invitation. I know that among the people who are with us today is Joanne Lavoie, who is the Commissioner for the Social Economy in Montreal with the City of Montreal, and I will refer to her role in my short presentation, but I'm delighted that she's here too, because when it comes to the question-answer period, there will be times when I will cede to Joanne, since this is something that she lives, breathes on a daily basis, and while I'm quite involved, I'm a sort of outsider on the inside. I looked at your three questions, and they're important, and they're very pertinent, but I think that in the Quebec story, in the Quebec case, I would probably begin with the third one, and then because the two others, the role of the municipal government in the social economy and the best practice support, really is they're both embedded, to borrow a term from Polanyi, in community engagement with the municipal government. And just as a little piece of you know, very very condensed piece of history, dialogue, collaboration, what we call concertation in Quebec, is not new. So there are in many ways easier. It's easier to generate a multi-sectoral or a widespread dialogue among different actors, and this is certainly the case with respect to the evolution of municipal policy supporting the social economy. I made available to everybody the website of the document that is the municipal policy for the social economy, called the Social Economy Partnership for Community-Based Sustainable Development, that was launched last year, and it provides all the information you would need and the framework for municipal policy. But what it does, I think, is extremely important, and that is it demonstrates the need for new processes, new decision-making processes, new models of governance, a new policy architecture that sort of moves away from the old and more familiar way of lobbying for particular programs and funding and then hoping that they come through. There are two phenomena there. One is that cities are, of course, limited with respect to how much they can finance, given their own small financial capacity. And we just experienced some pretty significant tax hikes here in Montreal just this week. And secondly, the recognition that the presence of actors around the table makes it much easier for the city to be able to introduce policies that respond directly to the needs as expressed by community actors. And so the presence of people who are directly engaged in the social economy has been very critical, or was very critical, in the drafting of that document. Joanne has a position which is called the Commissioner for the Social Economy. The city in 2006 created an Office of the Social Economy. This in itself is very innovative. The fact that the person who occupies that post, that position, has herself a history in the social economy is critical, because as we all know, this is new to many people in the policy domain, and many are at the very bottom of the learning curve. And her immediate call to develop an advisory board that was a multi-stakeholder advisory board of representatives of all the different sectors in the social economy in Montreal, from housing to finance to tourism, culture, etc., and including researchers, was very important. So that this document was really the reflection of a dialogue, an extensive dialogue, a dialogue that included a lot of debate, and it became very, very clear that the most useful and productive document that would actually have some teeth would be to institutionalize this partnership between community actors and policymakers, so that as issues arise, the best way to implement policy or the options that are available to the city could be debated with those who are directly engaged. So I would say that what we have done together, and I say we, I was privileged to be part of this, was to construct a new municipal policy architecture. The role of researchers, I hope, was useful. I think it was, because what we did was, while Joanne and people on the ground were working on the specific needs of sectors in the city, one of the pieces of research that we conducted was to have a look at what is going on in other cities around the world. And so that we, a selection, of course, because it was a pretty extensive study, even though it was only selected cities. But we were able then to classify the different ways in which cities engage that were common across different cities in different countries, and then see what was feasible in the context of the fiscal capacity of the city of Montreal, and use this politically, use this strategically to leverage policy here by saying, look, this is going on in X, Y, Z cities. It works. It's effective. The results are clear. We need to demonstrate that, you know, we can implement similar policies here. At the same time, on the research front, and this was going on within Joanne's office, was to break down the ignorance of what the social economy is by showing that the city has, in fact, been involved, actively involved in supporting the social economy for many years, but it hasn't been named. And so Joanne and her colleagues did this inside research to demonstrate that there was approximately $30 million or $31 million already engaged in by the city in a variety of ways with the social economy. So what this document, and I urge you to have a look, I think it's a really interesting document, what this document confirms is that the social economy, that the city has recognized the social economy in Montreal as a significant contributor to urban development and to the socioeconomic development of the city of Montreal. To concretize all this dialogue, because the dialogue is important, but you have to then decide on priorities. In the document, the priorities or the goals were narrowed down, and I'm not going to read them because you can go to the document yourself, but there were three specific goals. But I think the first one is extremely important, and that is to acknowledge the contribution by the social economy to Montreal's development. So there are three goals, and then there were five strategic objectives or five strategic directives that were prioritized by this multi-stakeholder group. And they are outlined in the document. And if you consult the document, you'll see that each strategic objective involves the engagement on both the part of the City of Montreal and on the part of the social economy actors to make sure that these, or to then put in place the processes in which these strategic directives will be achieved. Have I run out of time?
No, you're still doing fine. You've got a couple more minutes.
Okay, a couple more minutes. So, again, I invite you all to have a look at these strategic directions. And you know, I just had students who evaluated this document, and many of them were very supportive. And then there were some who said, "Well, this is all fine and well, but so what? You know, it's concretely, you know, what does this mean?" And I think it's an important question, because we can have, you know, it can be very well intentioned, but the fact of the matter is ultimately there have to be concrete applications of these objectives. I urge you to look at the document, and you will see that many of these engagements on the part of the city or in this new partnership arrangement, this institutionalized partnership, take engagements that are already in place and say these have to be developed, for example, in the areas of social housing. In the area of culture, we have a new cultural district that is under construction in downtown Montreal that will include all the major theaters, concert halls, etc. There's a place for the social economy, a recognition that the social economy, collective enterprises in the cultural sector will be part of this new cultural district. In that regard, there's a recognition that the social economy isn't only about small or marginal initiatives, that it has to have a role in some of the larger development projects that are undertaken by the municipal government. It's a recognition that the social economy is part of a plural economy, which we say all the time for the provincial, federal, global economy, in which the private sector, the public sector, and the social economy all have a role to play. The fact that this recognition exists, I think, is key, because otherwise we get into this old, this is not in any way to suggest that we mustn't argue for programs and funding. We must always do that. But we can't stop there, because the recognition of a wider range of players that make up the local economy in Montreal is critical to then argue for enabling municipal policies. And the other important piece is what I refer to as vertical linkages. There has to be linkages between municipal, provincial, and federal policy. In the case of Montreal, again, we have the benefit of a historical experience and that is the Community Economic Development Corporations, which have existed since the mid-1980s and in which the City of Montreal has been engaged financially and also within the decision-making structures of these community-based development organizations since 1989. So there is a benefit of having that earlier experience or that experience that has a long history. That said, and here I'll see to Joanne later, the fact that the executive committee, the counselor in charge of the director of economic development in the executive committee of the City of Montreal now has the responsibility for the social economy was no small feat. Economic development in the city or in any other institutional setting is not an easy place to enter with social economy objectives. So, despite the fact that the community economic development initiatives have existed for a long time, getting this up into the executive committee and learning the vocabulary and understanding the economic role that the social economy plays cross-sectorally in the city was a major challenge. And here I would congratulate Joanne for her extraordinary capacity to make that understood. And I think I will end by telling you that we just had a very difficult election. Some of you may have, I'm sure you might have read about it because it was kind of the only person missing in this was Marlon Brando. It was a sort of godfather part three election, very, very difficult. The new government, or the municipal government, I mean, they were reelected, but by the skin of their teeth because of accusations of corruption and so on. That said, this file, the mandate for the social economy, remains. It is integrated into their larger strategic plan for economic development 2005-2010, and the final ingredient, and I'm going to stop here, is I would say that the engagement with the social economy in Montreal is part of a series of strategic moments. The commitment of the city to, in its electoral platform in 2005, to include the social economy in its program, the signature of a charter I can't remember the exact title of the charter, but it's in your it's in the document. It's the only municipal charter that exists, to my knowledge. I'm just looking for the title, but it's Charter of Human Rights and Responsibilities at the municipal level, and then finally the Strategic Development Plan 2005-2010. So these are strategic moments which I think were very helpful, and then the second strategic decision was to develop what we would call a new policy architecture, a new framework for governance, a new framework for decision-making, that's partnership framework. That partnership has now been institutionalized, and while I respect my students' question, well, now what, the fact that that partnership exists means that the now what can be decided collectively with the presence of social economy actors at the table.
That's great. Thank you very much, Margie. I think what I'm going to do is introduce our second speaker and not pose a question right at this moment. Our second speaker is Jenny Kane. She's a senior strategic planner in the policy and research section of the Community Services Department of the City of Edmonton. She's also my colleague in the BC Alberta Social Economy Research Node. Welcome, Jenny.
Thanks, Peter. And it's nice to be here with everyone and great to hear about some of the really exciting developments in Montreal, Margie. So as Peter mentioned, I have been working for municipal government in the City of Edmonton for about 20 years and as well have been quite involved over that period of time in both community economic development and social economy activities. And then more recently had the opportunity to be involved in the BALTA, BC Alberta, research on social economy group that was looking at municipal government role in the social economy. And so primarily I'll talk about that, but draw on examples both from that research and from my experience with City of Edmonton. Just in response to the questions that were raised in terms of the role of municipal government, I would say, and backed by the research, that local governments play a very significant role in social economy activities. As Margie mentioned, this has changed historically in that historically social issues were often the jurisdiction of other levels of government, and municipal, the level of municipal government had less defined and less involvement in that area. However, with an increased number of functions being pushed down to local level of government, the municipalities certainly have responded, and I think that presents an opportunity for a greater link with social economy activities. Municipalities are now being asked increasingly to deal with complex, broader issues, and I think social economy offers a very good response to dealing with some of those issues. For instance, many cities are dealing with high rates of poverty, homelessness, marginalized populations, and again, social economy, because of the integration of looking at different sectors, I think offers a very good response. There's also, as Margie mentioned, I think one of the challenges, though, is having the resources to deal with some of the increasing demands on local government. But they are in a unique position, being the level of government, I think, closest to people and communities, and therefore I think that really offers an opportunity with respect to the third point about citizen engagement. I think as the level of government closest to communities and citizens, there is an opportunity to really draw on that connection and work with citizens that are engaged in the process to look at social economy responses to some of these really challenging issues that are increasing in our communities. With the research that we looked at municipalities primarily in BC and Alberta and Northern Ontario, and we looked at a total of 35 municipalities, 22 municipalities with population of 30,000 or less, 8 municipalities with populations between 30,000 and 500,000, and then 5 large urban municipalities with a population over 500,000. Our objectives with the research were really to look at what is the role of local government and social economy activities in a Canadian context, to analyze key areas of involvement and look a little bit deeper at what that role and what that support looks like, to identify some innovative examples of municipal support, and to look at the issue of scale by doing a beginning comparison of differences between small, medium, and large municipalities. Some of the results of that research, we found that it was useful, and the research led us to develop 6 frameworks for understanding the kinds of relationships that municipalities have with social economy players, and we named those different frameworks. As well, we found that it affirmed 7 kind of primary roles that local governments play in supporting social economy and CED activities. So the frameworks that we discovered were we named these solitudes, coffee shop, partnering, linking and leveraging, strong and integrated, and how can we help. And those were just used to help us frame up the predominant roles that municipalities play with respect to their relationships with social economy actors. And the research, I won't get into detail with all these because the research will be coming out and will be available more specifically. But I wanted to talk a little bit more about the roles that local governments play. And the 7 primary roles that we found in many cases that municipalities play to support social economy are expressions of intent, and we use that term to frame policy or procedures or actions guiding municipal documents that support social economy activity. A second role is financial support, so providing financial support to social economy activities. In-kind support, so that would be in the form of staff resources or office space instead of actually direct funding. They often get engaged in planning, research, and advising roles. Human and social capital development. 6th role is land use, so that can be a very strategic way to approach support for social economy activities. And procurement. And I just wanted to say that these roles are not isolated. So often we found that governments would layer their activities in support of a particular program. And I can give you the best example from my experience in Edmonton around that. For instance, City of Edmonton supported the development of the Social Enterprise Fund. And the roles that we played in support of that were multi-layered. For instance, we engaged initially in planning and research activities, in looking at, in collaboration with the community and with key community stakeholders and partners, what is the need around financing for social economy or social enterprise activities. So we engaged in that role. We provided in-kind support in the form of HR staff positions. We then did further research and consultation, and also in the end, we provided $3 million in financial support toward the capitalization of the fund. So I think it illustrates, and what our findings support, is that in a range of municipalities of all sizes are often engaging in multiple roles at the same time. The findings supported that, as I mentioned, all sizes of municipalities are very actively involved in social economy activities. Well, the way that this unfolds can be very different depending on size. For instance, in smaller municipalities and some medium municipalities, we found that the relationships and the support tended to be maybe more informal, whereas in the larger municipalities, for instance, many had policies supporting social economy activities. So while there can be some of those differences, all were very actively engaged in social economy activities. I'm just going to give you a flavor of some of the additional research results. For instance, in terms of expressions of intent or policy support, 18 of the 35 municipalities did have policies or bylaws supporting social economy and CED activities. 28 of the 35 municipalities are actively involved in neighborhood revitalization. 17 of 35 municipalities were involved in alternative energy generation. So I just wanted to give you a sense of some of the results that we discovered and the concrete examples. In terms of the challenges moving forward and in terms of uncovering opportunities for forwarding or advancing further support of municipal engagement in social economy, one of the main challenges we identified was language. And Margie alluded to this as well, that it sounds like maybe in Montreal the language of social economy is used more, but in many municipalities, most people were not familiar. The terminology of community economic development and social economy was not really common or familiar terminology. And so when you ask municipalities, you know, what are you doing in the social economy, it really required discussion of activities that support social economy as opposed to the general language of social economy. As well, another challenge that we found is that really there's limited involvement or engagement of municipal government staff in networks and learning forms related to social economy and CED. And so again, there's a bit of a gap in terms of engagement in that area. As well, there may be structural barriers, and that can be that can impose limitations on the roles that specific municipalities can play. Now, while there are some of those challenges, there are an incredible amount of opportunities, and we found that specifically some of these are around currently the urgency and the real strong support for sustainability, and this is also supported in terms of funding. So often municipalities will engage in social economy or CED activities if there's funding from other levels of government. And this kind of links back to Margie's comments about the importance of vertical linkages, that because of the limitations on municipalities' access to dollars, it's often dependent on funding or support from other levels of government. And if you take the issue of sustainability, for instance, FCM's initiative on sustainability has really spearheaded municipal involvement in sustainability planning and additional social economy activities. And so in the absence of funds, I think there'd be a significant difference in terms of municipal engagement in some of those key areas. The other opportunity, I think, that we found through the research moving forward would be then to take that information and knowledge and know that emerging federal and provincial priorities and funding programs can also assist in uncovering opportunities for advancing social economy activities on a municipal level. So if you try to make linkages with that, I think we can look at opportunities for advancing it further. I think I'm going to stop there. I don't know where I'm at in terms of time.
You're absolutely on the mark. Thank you very much, Jenny. Could I just ask everyone again to please make sure that you've pushed your mute. That's star six. We're picking up a little bit of a conversation. And also just to say there's some fascinating questions. We're again having the discussion of the comparison between Quebec, Montreal, and other parts of Canada in Chatsy. There are also some links to some very good resources there. I'm going to introduce our next speaker before we start questions. Our third and final speaker is Martin Garber Conrad. He's the CEO of the Edmonton Community Foundation and chair of the Edmonton Housing Trust Fund, and he's also a colleague on the Balta Research Group. Martin.
Thank you. It's great to be here. Rather than talk about policy frameworks and research and all the rest, I'm going to give you a very brief case study of what actually happened here in Edmonton and quite recently. This particular case study is focused not so much on the social economy broadly, but on a very narrow subset of that, namely social enterprise. And the work that began in the early part of this decade finally resulted in a social enterprise fund here in Edmonton. The work began actually by the municipality in approximately 2002. It was focused quite broadly on community economic development, and it was a wonderful scheme for providing tax credits to encourage investment in community economic development efforts. It went absolutely nowhere. In about 2005, 2006, it came back in the form of interest in developing a social enterprise fund to provide funding for emerging or expanding social enterprises and to provide interim financing for affordable housing projects. This initiative came directly from a small unit within the city administration, but at some point about 3 or 4 years ago, they recognized the need to reach outside the city into the community for a partner who it was anticipated would actually run the whatever it was that came out of this. My organization, soon after I arrived, then began working with this small unit within the city to develop a detailed proposal and business case for the startup of a social enterprise fund in Edmonton. That eventually resulted in approval in principle by Edmonton City Council, including the ask from them for $3 million in capital. This was pitched as an alternative to ongoing operating funding, and the business model for the Social Enterprise Fund showed that if we could build it to $10 million in capital within 5 years, then it would be essentially self-sustaining without further outside operating funds. The next step after city approval was actually getting the money, and that took another 18 months. The fund has now been up and running for a little over 2 years. It is capitalized at approximately $5 million, the $3 million from the city and $2 million so far from the community. The fund has made 7 loans for a total value of approximately $2.3 million. The first loan is already paid back. All the other loans are performing. So within this much broader context of certainly growing interest in our part of the world in the social economy, the role of the social economy, and the role that municipalities can play in supporting that, we have this one particular example of a little piece of it that we've actually managed to get up and running here in Edmonton. It's clear that the policy work still needs to be done. There's not a strong policy framework in our municipality, nor indeed in our community, for understanding and promoting the role of the social economy. As Jenny so correctly stated, that is not familiar language in our part of the world. Certainly the efforts of Balta and some of the other research players over the last few years have raised the profile of that language, but it still doesn't come naturally. Even community economic development is not a strong feature here in our municipality. But all these things take time, and we're trying to build on not only the policy and theoretical work that has been going on elsewhere, but adding to it this very concrete piece of, here's an actual example of what some of this looks like. This isn't everything, but it is a piece of it, and we're trying to add that concrete piece to this overall and emerging discussion. It's difficult, and I certainly wouldn't assert that this is a best practice or that this is the only way, but it's a piece that we were able to pull off here in Edmonton. We're seeing positive value from the fund, both in terms of supporting what we are calling the social economy and also the broader nonprofit sector and community-based work in our city. The results are still modest. It's still very small. We're still very much in a startup mode, but I do believe that it's contributing. As I look back over the experience, there were certainly challenges, partly because we don't have the strong policy framework or theoretical background that municipalities like Montreal have, but I think there are some learnings that have come out of our experience. The first one, I think, is that collaboration is key. Municipalities need to find a way to connect with appropriate players in the community to make things happen. The other side of that, though, is that collaboration is neither quick nor easy. There's quite a different corporate culture, legal framework, and as we've already discussed, limitations on the conceptual understanding and buy-in. The second principle or learning that I've taken from this is that it strengthens the case for these kinds of things to the extent that they can be connected with other city initiatives and policies. I think that's probably pretty obvious, but even if municipalities don't have a particular social economy policy, there are still other city initiatives and efforts that can be connected with. The third learning I take from this is the importance of getting real money on the table and just doing it. One doesn't have to have the absolutely perfect solution that works precisely as one had hoped and dreamed, but just do it. The fourth, I guess number four, learning is certainly that a policy framework would have been very helpful. I must say I look with envy on the Montreal policy and just am delighted to imagine how wonderful it would have been if we had had that kind of framework. Nevertheless, one doesn't not do things simply because you don't have all the optimal tools. You still have to do it. The final piece I would offer to the broader discussion, policy framework or an incredible research base, all of these are evidence and tools, but they never by themselves win you the day. You still have to do it, even if your evidence is unassailable, even if the policy framework is extremely supportive. You really want to make new and better things happen in the social economy, you have to do it. Thanks.
Great. Thank you very much, Martin. What we're going to do now is I'm going to ask everybody who'd like to invite people who'd like to ask questions to formulate their questions, and we will move from east to west, and I'll give each province and territory, people in each province and territory, a chance to ask their questions. And I'm going to kick off that while everybody gets their questions in order with a question that came up on Chatzy, and it really revolves around the legal basis for municipal support of the social economy. One question was, how unique is the enabling legislation in the city of Montreal? Is it different from other municipalities? And a second question that's also related to the legal issues is, given international and interprovincial trade agreements that ban giving preferential treatment for local procurement, how have you been able to shift procurement policies in Montreal? So if I could ask the speakers to comment on the legal issues, and then we'll start moving across the country. Margie.
Okay, well, I won't go into the specificities of the legal issues, but rather say, and perhaps here we can, if Joanne wants to also jump in, that might be helpful. But just to say that, I mean, procurement is a difficult one, because there are political and legal issues. Even where there's been procurement, not at the municipal level, but in provincially or at other levels, there is always the accusation, you know, looming of unfair competition and subsidization and all the things that we're familiar with. These are political arguments. So there is no capacity for the city to, at the moment, legally, to say that X percent of their purchases, for example, will be dedicated to the social economy. That said, there is a legal provision that allows for contract arrangements, and it exists. And it exists provincially here in Quebec. And in fact, it's been the basis, again, for political battling in the waste management sector, where outside Montreal, and it was a group of municipalities in the province of Quebec that reacted very, very angrily when the private sector said, you know, you can't do this. This is unfair competition. So you have a combined political and legal problem to deal with. That said, there are certain sectors, like, for example, community radio. There's a certain percentage the government agrees to advertise, you know, to put public advertising in community-based radio. So there are precedents. Procurement is, when we did our international research, I mean, the European Union, you know, has public markets. A study I recently did in France, Strasbourg, very advanced on public markets. I mean, I think this is something that we have to work on everywhere to either draft new legislation or take, you know, existing legislation that allows it and allow it to operate, and then to be prepared to argue against what, you know, what is more sectoral opposition that's coming from you know, from the basically from the private sector. But as just to end on that, to suggest that there is no legal capacity in the city of Montreal to have a legally constituted procurement policy at the moment. But there are these, what we call in French, gré à gré, contract agreements that are you know, they can be time bound for specific sectors. These are these exist and these are possible.
Great, thank you. Would any of our other two speakers like to comment on this issue?
Well, this is Jenny. I just wanted to comment, and we did find through the research that many, many municipalities have both formal policies in place as well as informal arrangements to procure more locally. And so, for instance, most of the large municipalities, Calgary has a triple bottom line framework, which commits the city to take social, environmental, and economic impacts of their purchasing decisions into account. They also approved the Sustainable Environmental and Ethical Procurement Policy. Edmonton, currently administration is just working on development of a sustainable procurement policy. City of Toronto adopted a policy on responsible procurement in 99. And Vancouver has incorporated fair trade purchasing criteria into their procurement process. So those are some examples from larger municipalities. Many exist at smaller and medium level municipalities. So I think there's some very exciting things happening in this area. Recently at the Baltimore meeting in Calgary, we also had a discussion about the impact of the larger trade agreements, the interprovincial trade agreements, on local procurement. And actually, David LePage told the group, and I haven't followed up on the research on this yet, but that actually there are, he may be the only one that read the legislation on this, but that actually there are allowances for social economy, for some social economy activities and social enterprise activities that allow municipalities in particular to give a favorable relationship to social enterprises and others. Now, I may not have that exactly right, but there is apparently some allowance in some of those interprovincial agreements, so I think it would be worth looking into more. And as well, just as a resource, it's either Enterprising Nonprofits or VanCity. On their website, they do have a process that will guide people through development of a local procurement policy, which is very, very helpful.
That's great. Thanks, Jenny. Martin, any comments quickly from you?
Just to say again that it would be incredibly surprising if a variety of legal and political barriers didn't arise, but that's no reason not to press ahead, and there are always ways, no matter how high or broad the barriers seem to be. If you really want to do this stuff, there are ways to make it happen.
Can I just add
one little comment on this to say that while legally the barriers exist, and I agree with you, Martin, one of the objectives and priorities in Montreal of the committee of this multi stakeholder group is to show how a procurement, and we can call it as we will, if they have political or legal difficulties, but the procurement to purchase locally, to purchase through social economy enterprises, dovetails, fits with the policy priorities of the city. And at the moment, their purchases directly from social economy enterprises is less than 1%. So, you know, I agree. So this is certainly a priority.
This is Jenny again. Sorry, I did just find the website. It's called, this is the document to assist people in developing a purchasing policy, and it's called the Social Enterprise Purchasing Toolkit, and it's on the website of Enterprising Nonprofits. It's
Jenny, yep. Brendan has posted the URL for that.
Oh, so great.
It's in Chatsy for everyone. And just to say that Chatsy will stay open at the end of the call. People are starting to make contacts with each other, and there's some great resources there that that are not going to be lost after the call. Could I very quickly start inviting questions and just encourage everyone to keep them as short as possible? Anyone in Newfoundland and Labrador? How about from Nova Scotia? Anyone from PEI would like to ask a question? New Brunswick?
Yes, it's Omer Chouinard here from Moncton, and I just want to mention that we have no legal body in the municipality or our policy, but we in the project that we're doing, you know, with the in the coastal communities, you know, and the watershed, the municipal government, it's the small local government like Batters, for instance, 13,000 people, or the municipality of 1,000 and 2,000 people, they provide support, like providing local, providing phone support, providing personnel, like at Batters, for instance, you know, they provide human capital, you know, to help. And at that time, I think, you know, that for us it was very useful, even if it's not legally or legal or good standing.
That's great. Thank you very much. Okay. Any other comments from New Brunswick? How about from Quebec? Anyone from Ontario?
Yeah, this is Khan Rahi from Toronto. I have actually a quick question for Marjeet in regards to the experience there. Essentially, what I'm asking is this, that were there any kind of lessons learned in regards to developing some sort of a framework, evaluation framework, or something to deal with the question of political instability? In other words...
I'm sorry, with political instability?
In other words, the perception out there is that municipal governments are politically unstable or unreliable in many respects, because any changes, any 5, 6, 7, depends on the size of a council, councillors could gang up and push a position one way or the other, and that could really turf off years of work in terms of social economy or whatever other initiative people can take. So I was wondering, in that context, if we could draw some lessons from the Montreal experience. And in fact, Martin raised a very interesting question about the whole issue of financial incentive versus policy, whether which end of it should we work on? Should we have really financial incentive and then look for a policy framework, or the other way around? Because that experience shows that the financial incentive really worked and got everybody wrapped up in some respect, but on the other hand, it's still the process seems to be unfolding. So in any case, either one of you who care to comment about that, because I think that the issue is that within the voluntary sector, NGO sector, at least in Toronto, we've been arguing forever to convince or change the mindset within the municipal government that, yes, you know, they could act on stuff, but on the other hand, knowing the political reality is such that they're short-term, and also they can change within which way, depending on which way their particular councillor's constituency is moving or whatever happens in terms of downloading or anything else from senior levels of government.
Okay, I'll try to be very brief because it's a big question, and in fact, it's one that would be really more interesting to pose to Joanne because she lives this reality on a daily basis.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, the biggest problem. Forget the political instability for a moment. I mean, we've all raised the question of recognition of the social economy, And it, I mean, even in Quebec, you know, where it's more rooted and it's certainly very locally rooted and there's a long history of community economic development and so on, in many ways you do hit a brick wall when this comes into into the executive committee in the city of Montreal, and suddenly it falls into the lap of someone dealing with economic development who has a very specific mindset that you'll find at any level, municipal, provincial, or federal, when people are working in finance and development. They don't get it. So there was that mindset issue. The fact that the city hired someone made a huge difference. The fact that Joanne is there as a commissioner, the fact that there is an office for the social economy, I mean, if you want to be, you know, we can say this is a kind of in-your-face approach, but I mean, she's present, and therefore there's an ongoing presence of a professional who knows what this is all about, thankfully, because they could have hired someone who was also at the bottom of a learning curve. And we find this not only at the level of municipal government, but within the small boroughs, you know, that have social economy so-called agents, you know, people who are actually dealing with the social economy enterprises one-on-one. And it's very uneven as to whether they really understand. I mean, these are not bad people. It's new. So there's that. And then if you add on the other things that you've, you know, referred to, the short-termism and so on, which is why I think that, you know, we don't in any way say that we've done it all and it's all over. Quite the contrary. What we've done is we've laid the foundation for doing it differently so that questions of instability, political instability, which are there at all levels of government, don't render the social economy so fragile that it can disappear. And so this institutionalization of a dialogue, now it's a 5-year commitment, and who knows what can happen 5 years down the road. But in the same way that the community economic development organizations were also at the time a response to crisis, because they institutionalized the model of governance that works, they're still around. And I think that, I hope I'm not being too optimistic here, but I think that the fact that you have this presence in the city of Montreal will allow this kind of dialogue to continue regardless of who takes the dossier. But yes, I mean, the person with the dossier now, I think, is probably going to be an easier person to deal with than the previous person. But it functioned.
That's great. Thank you very much, Margie. I'm aware that we're now out of time, but I want to continue moving across from east to west just to make sure that all of the questions that are out there that haven't been put on Chatsy do get tabled, even if we can't have full answers. So any more questions from Ontario?
Yeah.
How about from Manitoba?
Huh.
Saskatchewan? Any questions from Alberta?
So do you think that my document will still...
British Columbia?
Bob Hawksworth. I did post a question. I was just asking Jenny in terms of her research.
Oh, well.
How did they classify NMAX and EPCOR, the two city utilities that were corporatized? Were they seen as private sector, or
we're on it for 10 minutes,
or were they incorporated or seen as playing a role as sort of the social economy sector?
I can.
In a word, Jenny?
Yes, sorry, I just had to unmute. Well, that's a good question, and we didn't actually get into that much detail, although with the people that I talked to in Calgary, they did highlight some examples of more innovative, kind of sustainable energy work that was happening within the city. And so it was more at that level of looking at energy provision. We didn't get into the detail of those kind of the corporations and specifically that area, although I think that would be a very good area for further in-depth research, because I know in Edmonton as well, there's been a lot of changes in that area. So sorry,
great.
I can't answer that well.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Any other questions from BC?
Yes, it's Alan Blaines here in Kelowna. I just was wondering if there may be some kind of a interest group across the country on getting municipalities connected with renewable energy systems such as geothermal. I'm very interested in making sure we have some way of enabling geothermal to be kept in the commons rather than dealt with only by private sector actors. Is there any comment on that?
Well, this is Jenny again, and although, as I mentioned, the research didn't go into much depth in terms of specific systems, however, there seemed to be a lot of interest at the municipal level and connected to the work being done on sustainability around particularly community self-sufficient energy systems, and I think there's some really exciting innovations happening out there in some municipalities and actually internationally that many municipalities are looking at. So that's just kind of an update on what the research seemed to show.
That's great. And perhaps okay. I could invite somebody to post an email address to Chatsy to be a contact for that discussion, and if folks want to take that forward.
And just Margie, just to add, if you know, I would also suggest looking at the strategic plan for sustainable development that the City of Montreal has, and I these are moments where one could argue in this way. So, to look for openings that plan would provide for social economy alternatives.
Great, thank you. Any more questions or comments from British Columbia?
Jason Niles here. I work with the local government, and I had a quick question. If there's any resources for doing like mapping, like a footprint of social economy.
Can I answer? It's Margie.
Please.
Yeah, we have a few studies, and they've been published. One is Marie Bouchard and her team at University of Quebec at Montreal that has put together a compendium, a data bank of social economy enterprises in the City of Montreal. It's very, very broad. You know, we get into this definitional issue, so it includes a very wide range of nonprofit organizations that are, you know, advocacy and so on. And that's okay because the work then is us, you know, to try to deconstruct that and say, well, okay, where, you know, which sectors are we really interested in? Then there's the organization called CESIM, which is it's across the province. We have these regional bodies, and this is the regional body for Montreal, and theirs is a more market oriented, not in the sense of only market players, but market oriented social economy activity that is a inventory. It's not a statistical database, but an inventory of the different enterprises that actually engage in some way, even if they're, you know, in service areas, but they're engaged with the market. So it's a narrower and more focused document. So those exist, and then there's a lot of work now being done to try to perfect. Data is a real problem. We have, you know, lots of it now available, but refining it is an objective. But there are those two that you can access easily.
Great, thank you.
Thanks, Margie. Any more questions from BC? How about from Nunavut? From the NWT? And any questions or comments from the Yukon? Okay, well, thank you all so much for this. This has been a really wonderful event. I want to thank you, particularly the three speakers, for their presentations. And I know you can hear the silent clapping in the background. The for the session. And the final message from me is just to remind everyone that there's a national summit later this year in Ottawa. It's from May 30th to June 2nd, and it's the national summit on the social economy and on a people-centered economy. Please do visit the SEDNET website to have a look at that. Thanks all again so much for your participation. Bye-bye.